The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, Chapter Number 15, Texts Number 22, 23, and 24, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on June 2, 2015, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Rajan,
Rajan
Tvaya
Anuprishtanam
Suhridam Na Suhrit Pure Vipra Shapa Vimudhanam Dignatam Mushtibi Mitta Vatrati Varunim Madiram Fitva Mada Unmatita Chetasam Ajanatam Eva Anyonyam Shatu Pancha Avasheshita Rajang Svayanu Prishtanam
Rajang Svayanu Prishtanam
Suhridam na Suhrit Pare
Suhridam na Suhrit Pare
Viprashapa Vimudanam
Viprashapa Vimudanam
Nignatam Mushtibir Mita
Nignatam Mushtibir Mita
Varunim Madaring Pidva
Varunim Madidam Pidva
Madon Matita Chaitasam
Madon Matita Chaitasam
Ajanatam Ivan Yom Yam
Ajanatam Ivan Yom Yam
Chatu Pancha Vasheshita
Chatu Pancha Vasheshita
Rajang Svayanu Prishtanam
Rajang Svayanu Prishtanam
Suhridam Nav Suhrit Pare
Suhridam Nav Suhrit Pare
Viprashapa Vimudanam
Viprashapa Vimudanam
Nignatam Mushtibir Mita
Nignatam Mushtibir Mita
Varunim Madaram Pitva
Varunim Madaram Pitva
Madon Matita Chaitasam
Madon Matita Chaitasam
Ajanatam Viyanyonyam
Ajanatam Viyanyonyam
Chatu Pancha Vasheshita
Chatu Pancha Vasheshita
Rajan,
Rajan,
O King,
O King,
Tvaya,
Tvaya,
by you, Anuprishtanam,
Anuprishtanam,
as you inquired, Suhridam,
Suhridam,
of friends and relatives,
Na.
Our Suhrit Pare in the city of Dwarka,
Vipra,
the Brahmanas,
Shapa,
by the curse of Vimudanam, of the befooled, Nignatam,
of the killed,
Mushtibi,
with bunches of sticks,
Mitta.
Among themselves.
Varunim, fermented rice,
Madaram,
wine, Pitva, having drunk,
Mada.
Unmatita,
being intoxicated,
Chaitasam, of that mental situation, Ajanatam, of the unrecognized,
Eva,
like,
Anyonyam,
one another,
Chatu,
four,
Pancha,
five,
Avasheshita,
now remaining. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. O King, since you have asked me about our friends and relatives in the city of Dwarka, I will inform you that all of them were cursed by the Brahmins, and as a result, they all became intoxicated with wine made of putrefied rice and fought amongst themselves with sticks, not even recognizing one another. Now all but four or five of them are dead and gone. Text 24. Paye naitad bhagavata ishvarasya vicheshtitam mito nagnanti bhutani bhavayanti chayan mita. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Factually, this is all due to the supreme will of the Lord, the personality of Godhead. Sometimes people kill one another, and at other times they protect one another. Purport. According to the anthropologists, there is nature's law of struggle for existence in the survival of the fittest. But they did not know that behind the law of nature is the supreme direction of the supreme personality of Godhead. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the law of nature is executed under the direction of the Lord. Whenever, therefore, there is peace in the world, it must be known that it is due to the goodwill of the Lord. And whenever there is upheaval in the world, it is also due to the supreme will of the Lord. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Whenever, therefore, there is disobedience of the established rules enacted by the Lord, there is war between men and nations. The surest way to the path of peace, therefore, is dovetailing everything to the established rule of the Lord. The established rule is that whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we sacrifice, or whatever we give in charity, must be done to the full satisfaction of the Lord. No one should do anything, eat anything, sacrifice anything, or give anything in charity against the will of the Lord. Discretion is the better part of valor, and one must learn how to discriminate between actions which may be pleasing to the Lord and those which may not be pleasing to the Lord. An action is thus judged by the Lord's pleasure or displeasure. There is no room for personal whims. We must always be guided by the pleasure of the Lord. Such action is called yoga karmasu kaushalam, are actions performed which are linked with the Supreme Lord. That is the art of doing a thing perfectly. Vandeha Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanvitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Bharijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschat Yajeshatarine. So Prabhupada here is very mercifully telling us exactly what we need to do, exactly how we need to think, exactly how we need to speak. It is crystal clear. We must give up our personal whims and always be guided by the principle of the pleasure of the Lord. If something is pleasing to the Lord, we should do that. If something is not pleasing to the Lord, we should not do that. It is a very, very simple instruction. The difficulty is we still think that we're the Lord and that everything should be for our pleasure. That is the problem. We constantly forget that actually everything should be done for the pleasure of Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Not I imagine that I'm the center and I do everything for my pleasure. That is not Krishna consciousness. We have a tendency to be very lazy when it comes to serving Krishna and very enthusiastic and dedicated when it comes to serving ourselves. Therefore, we have to get out of this crippled-minded, diseased state of consciousness in which we think that we are more important than Krishna, in which we think that our pleasure is more important than Krishna's pleasure. You understand? We are still thinking my pleasure is more important than Krishna's pleasure, even though we've taken the Krishna consciousness. We have this tendency, residual tendency, sitting our hearts, left over from millions and billions of lifetimes of trying to be the center of enjoyment. It's still sitting there. So we have to root it out. And what is the most effective way of rooting out that disease of material enjoyment within the heart? That is the chanting of Hare Krishna. Sat Krishna Nama Charitari Sitap Yivanja Pitto Patapta Rashadashana Rochikanu Kinvadadananunidang Kadushai Vajushta Sarikamad Babita Gudamula Hantri. The holy name, character, and activities of Krishna are transcendently sweet, just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within his tongue and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So what is that disease? That disease is that I'm thinking that I'm the enjoyer. That's the disease. I'm the enjoyer. Things should be for my pleasure. That is our disease. So it's time we wake up and get out of this contaminated mentality in which we think things are for my pleasure. It's not for your pleasure. As long as you put yourself in the center, you're going to suffer. When you get yourself out of the center and put Krishna in the center, that's when you really start to be happy. You may say, why? But isn't my pleasure important? Sure, it's important. Relatively important, but not absolutely important. In other words, when you put Krishna's pleasure as the absolute, your pleasure follows automatically, like when your hand moves, the shadow moves with it. You see what I'm saying? If you put Krishna's pleasure first, your pleasure will be there automatically. But if you try to put your pleasure first, forget it. You're going to suffer. You will. Even if you're trying to be a devotee, if you keep making the mistake of putting your pleasure before Krishna's pleasure, you will not be happy. You won't be happy. You won't get a taste from the Hare Krishna mantra. You won't get a taste from devotee association. You won't get a taste from engaging in Krishna conscious activities as long as you keep trying to put yourself in the center. You will not get it. So therefore, we have to kick out this tendency that we have to put ourselves in the center. You see? I want to do what pleases me, you see. Of course, in the higher sense, yes. An advanced devotee knows that what pleases me is to always please Krishna. So he's always doing what pleases himself. That's an advanced position. But the neophyte devotee makes a distinction between his pleasure and Krishna's pleasure, you see. That is the difficulty. For us neophytes, you see. We put our pleasure as something different from Krishna's pleasure and more important than Krishna's pleasure. That is the neophyte mentality. So we have to realize we are in a diseased state of consciousness. We have to recognize it and realize it. I'm diseased. I'm trying to be the enjoyer, even though I'm not. I'm trying to eat Purusha when actually I'm Prakriti. You see? I'm trying to be the enjoyer when actually I am the enjoyed. That is my position. I'm not the enjoyer. I am the enjoyed. I am meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. So instead of trying to enjoy, I should try to be enjoyed by Krishna. That Krishna will take pleasure in the way I think. Krishna will take pleasure in the way that I speak. Krishna will take pleasure in the way that I act. That's what we have to see. Am I pleasing Krishna now by my thoughts, by my words, by my actions? Does this please Krishna? You see, that's what we have to see. Because when you can actually please Krishna, then you taste unlimited nectar at every minute. Why taste a little so-called happiness of putting myself in the center, which is like the will-o'-the-wisp? It's an illusion. It's not real. It's imaginary happiness. Maya sukhaya. Why give up the ananda or the unlimited pleasure of spiritual life for a little maya sukhaya? Is that a very intelligent thing to do? But that's what we do. We'll give up ananda to get a little maya sukhaya. Ananda means the genuine happiness of awakening one's loving relationship with Krishna. That is ananda. So we'll give up ananda and take some maya sukhaya instead, illusory happiness. Just see how stupid we are, isn't it? Aren't we stupid? We're very stupid people. We will take maya sukhaya over instead of ananda. So we have to hear from Srila Prabhupada. We have to hear from exalted Vaishnavas who have realized how stupid it is to try to be the enjoyer. We have to hear from such exalted, enlightened Vaishnavas how stupid it is to try to be the enjoyer when you're doing nothing but hurting yourself by doing that. We have to hear from exalted Vaishnavas who have fully realized that pleasing Krishna is the only way to go. Prabhupada is that exalted Vaishnava, you see. If we hear from Srila Prabhupada and we accept that principle and we apply ourselves diligently to give up this foolish attempt to try to enjoy separately from Krishna, then we'll be on the right track and quickly we will achieve perfect Krishna consciousness. This process is not difficult. You can quickly and easily achieve the perfection of Krishna consciousness if you practice it correctly. Is it? But we're lazy, we're sloppy, we're not focused. We engage in Krishna consciousness haphazardly instead of with full seriousness. And therefore our advancement is very slow, very slow. And we go through so many ups and downs. We ride the roller coaster of sukha-dukha, you see. The sukha-dukha roller coaster is for neophytes and for karmi, not for advanced devotees. The advanced devotees, they're always in great transcendental bliss within their hearts. The external situation may be pleasant, it may be unpleasant. It doesn't matter for an advanced devotee. He's fully situated with Krishna at every minute. He's thinking of Krishna, he's talking of Krishna, he's bowing down to Krishna, he's absorbing everything in Krishna's service. That is the advanced Vaishnava. So we have to seek out the association of such advanced devotees, serve them, hear from them, learn from them. In this way, we can become advanced devotees also and get out of our disgusting neophyte consciousness. where we're being whipped by the material nature again and again and again and again and again. So are there any questions? How to know if Krishna is pleased with our actions? Well, if the spiritual master is pleased, then you can know if my guru is pleased and Krishna is pleased. Nothing happens without Krishna's will, but how is it the devotees of our Lord are arrested and imprisoned, even punished by demoniac rulers, and the Lord lets the devotees suffer? Well, that our Lord Jesus was crucified. Haridas Thakur was beaten in 22 marketplaces. Why the Lord allows that to happen? Actually, this expands the glories of a Lord, of the Lord's devotees, I mean to say. The more they undergo tapa, austerities and penances and difficulties on behalf of the Lord, the more they become glorified and appreciated in this world society. So that's one understanding. This is Krishna's arrangement. The devotees become even more glorious. But someone who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, they're not disturbed by any situation. Even by the most disturbing situations, they're not disturbed. But this expands the glories of the devotees, and Krishna wants to see his devotees become more and more glorified. Some people offer tulsi leaves to Lord Shiva, Ganesh, or Hanuman. Is it okay? Well, tulsi prasadam can be given to anyone. Tulsi prasadam, tulsi leaves can be given to anyone. Should we offer tulsi to a Advaita Acharya? Well, he's Vishnu Tattva, so he certainly can be offered tulsi. If not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord, then it is to be concluded that many animals being slaughtered is only by the Lord's will. You got to go a little deeper. Your understanding is superficial. You have to go deeper than this. You have to go much deeper than this. The fact is that animals being slaughtered right now are getting the karma of being animal killers in their previous lives. The law of karma is going on to punish them for their sinful activities. So in that sense, it is the Lord's will. The law of karma is going on under the Lord's will. That's a fact. But the Lord has other higher wills as well, and that's he wants to deliver all the living entities from this position. That's why he comes as Lord Chaitanya to introduce this Krishna consciousness movement, to close down the slaughterhouses. So you have to understand the Lord's will acts on different levels also. We're in this material world because we don't want to accept the supremacy of Krishna. And we have not accepted it since time immemorial. How will we be able to actually come to surrender to Krishna? Vishnu Priya Devi Dasa, you want to answer this? How will we come to actually be to surrender to Krishna after being so long rejecting the supremacy of Krishna? I'll read it again. We are in this material world because we don't want to accept the supremacy of Krishna. And we have not accepted it since time immemorial. So then how will we actually able to come to surrender to Krishna?
It's the human form of life. We are born to the human form of life, and one has to consciously choose that now it is the time to become self-realized. So that is the way, only way we can be surrendered to Krishna. That's the only way we can do it.
by, can you summarize it? What's your, what's the point? By realizing the importance of the human life.
Yes.
This is a very a grand opportunity to get out.
Not that we act like animals mm-hmm. according to the karma that was already done there, but it's time now to wake up.
Yeah.
To self-realization.
It's a matter of hearing the facts from authorities and becoming sober and doing the needful. You've been suffering from a disease for a long time, and there's in a village there's no medical care. But some doctor, some traveling doctor comes to your village, so you better take advantage. The doctor is there now. Now you have a chance. Usually there is no doctor in a village, but today a doctor has come to your village, so now you go. You immediately take advantage. This reminds me of one story.
When one comes to that realization, yeah. That
yeah.
Then Krishna makes from Krishna is Chaitanya Guru, so when he sees that how sincere the person is to become Krishna conscious, then he manifests himself externally as the spiritual master by giving him the guidance how to surrender.
When there's an opportunity, take advantage of it. Just like there was one man in India. And he was visiting our temple, Juhu Temple. And he wanted to become Prabhupada's disciple. And so he wanted to meet with Prabhupada. I heard there was to be a darshan in the afternoon. So he came and he brought some japa beads. He wanted Prabhupada to chant on his beads and accept him as a disciple. He had some problem with his legs. He couldn't do any service. So he couldn't move into the temple and be accepted as a disciple in that way. But in those days, there was practically the only disciples were ones who lived in the temple. So here was a person living on the outside. He was chanting, but he couldn't do any service. So he was advised, well, you come and you meet with Prabhupada. One devotee told him, you come and meet with Prabhupada today. He's giving darshan this afternoon. So he was waiting outside and nobody else came. Nobody came for the darshan. He was scared to go in by himself. So he was sitting there, he was frozen, he couldn't go in. And this devotee said, you better go in. You just go. And he was scared to go in by himself because if nobody else came for the darshan, just him and Prabhupada all alone, he was scared to go in. But the devotee said, no, you've come, now you go. So he went. So, and actually Prabhupada chanted around on his beads and accepted him as a disciple. Because that devotee had pushed him. So, when we were pushed, our tendency is we want to hold back. We're accustomed to being in Maya. It's our comfort zone. Being in Maya is our comfort, so-called comfort, but it's actually a very uncomfortable comfort zone. We take it as our comfort zone to be in Maya. And then some devotee can say, no, you go forward now. You take the Krishna consciousness. And we have to take that, you see. When that push has been given, that encouragement, that's the greatest blessing. So that's why it's stated in the scripture, Brahmanda Brahmite Konya Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadai Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. After being caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes, if you have one living entity who is very, very fortunate by the combined mercy of Guru and Krishna, he receives the seed of bhakti planted within his heart. So that's the hope for someone who's been caught up for millions of lifetimes. He comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master who plants the seed of Krishna consciousness within his heart. So if you find yourself in that position, then don't hesitate. Don't remain on the sidelines. You go forward and take this seriously.
It's not just going make conscious choice when somebody comes also.
That's right. Just like that man, the devotee pushed him, and he surrendered to the push. He said, "No, you go forward now," and he did.
He came to the temple.
Yeah.
He wanted it.
He was sitting. He was shy to go into the darshan, and the devotee pushed him. "No, you should go," and he surrendered to it. He understood this is the right advice, and he did it. So when you're given the right advice, don't hesitate. Follow the proper advice. You see. We've been holding back from Krishna consciousness for time immemorial. We've been holding back. So if an advanced Vaishnava comes along and they push you to do the right thing, do it. Don't hold back. Don't be independent nonsense. We are planning a national japa retreat next year. What are the different activities we can have over the 3 days? Well, can have seminars on japa. Everybody can give their own realizations. You can go. Every devotee can give their own little talk about what japa means to them, how japa has transformed their life, and how they feel they can improve their japa. You can actually let every devotee give their own testimony. It'd be a nice thing to do. What was the age of Kali? Why was the age of Kali allowed to enter? Is it to give the opportunity to people who want to be irreligious to enjoy? Well, I can tell you, actually, it is our desire that brought Kali. In other words, we come into this material world with a tendency to want to enjoy separately from the Lord. You may be surprised to hear the first birth that you take when you enter into this material world is your first birth is Brahma. You were all Brahmaji. Do you know that? You remember when you were Lord Brahma? Yes. You were Lord Brahma. You were Lord Brahma, the Lord of the whole universe, when you first took birth in the material world. I see. That was your first birth here. You became Lord Brahma. Okay. So, but you had a tendency to enjoy separately from the Lord. You could have gone back. Brahmas usually go back, but sometimes they don't go back. So you were feeling not fully satisfied. You're like, maybe if I was Indra, I would enjoy more. So you try enjoying as Indra. Then you come down another notch, and finally you come all the way to Indragopa, an Indragopa germ, trying to enjoy, you see. So the point is, this tendency to enjoy separately is there. In the Satya Yuga, it's more subtle. In the Treta Yuga, a little more gross. It's the same tendency. It keeps growing and growing and growing. The material disease is ever expanding. So the yugas are simply the cumulative effect of all these human beings who want to enjoy a little bit more grossly, a little bit more grossly. It's our combined consciousness actually brings in the ages. Like to add something to that, Devi? Okay. Okay. Sometimes we are forced to attend religious karmic ceremonies. For example, that of a neighbor's. Will Gurudev be affected by karmic reactions? Well, and if you go there to preach. I remember when I was one time visiting our college preaching center at State College, Pennsylvania, the University of Pennsylvania, or Penn State, whatever they call it. Very nice devotee there, Stamba Prabhu. We had a nice preaching center there, a house near the campus. So one evening, the neighbors next door had a beer party the next door. They had a keg of beer. It's a standard thing in college. They get a big keg of beer and they all just keep drinking beer, one cup, and they get drunk, you see. So I thought it'd be a good idea to go there, and Stamba agreed with me. We went next door, and we brought prasad, and we preached to all the people drinking their beer, you see. So if you want to go to some material function, go there to preach. Give Krishna consciousness. We didn't go there and drink beer. We went there and gave them prasadam and preached to them, and they actually liked it. It was just right next door, right over the fence. So we went next door and we had a nice preaching with all these guys drinking their beer. We had a nice time preaching to them. So if you want to go to some your neighbor's function, then go there and preach. Don't go and drink beer or whatever they're doing. Go there and give them Krishna consciousness. What is the difference between a neophyte devotee and an advanced devotee? The advanced devotee is always remembering Krishna, and the neophyte devotee is not always remembering Krishna. How many years it may take for a neophyte to become an advanced devotee, that depends on you. If you're determined, you can become an advanced devotee within 1 second, or it can take millions of years. Want to add something to that, Devi? No? Okay. Everyone wants to be the master and no one wants to be the servant. Why in this material world? This material world is a play. Why is the prison have so many people of a criminal mentality in it? Because that's where all the criminals are sent. You see? So why everybody in this world wants to be the master instead of the servant? Because this is a place where people want to be the master. That's why. In the spiritual world, everybody wants to be servant. In the material world, everybody wants to be master. We come here because we wanted to be master. So it's natural everybody here wants to be the master. Natural thing. Not surprising. Any more questions? What about from our listeners on the internet? Let's see. I have some questions coming in. We have from Premal in Mumbai. Srila Gurudev, in secular country, different religions are given freedom of individual rights when they stop slaughterhouses for cows. The others complain that even fishing should be stopped. How to have peace when there is a secular state? Actually, in Maharashtra, the government has said you can't slaughter the cows anymore, so it's causing a lot of turmoil amongst the people. It's difficult to have peace. Unless you put Krishna in the center, you can come in and say, okay, we close the slaughterhouses, but you know, unless people understand what it means to become a servant of God, it would be very difficult to enforce such things. There'll be so much agitation going on, so much anger, confusion. You have to put Krishna in the center, you see. Closing the slaughterhouses is very good, but unless you make the people Krishna conscious, it won't remain. That cow protection will not remain unless you base it on Krishna consciousness. So the solution is you have to preach, distribute Prabhupada's books, make devotees. Next question. If one says you look beautiful, how in that case to avoid identifying the self with the bodily conception? Someone says, you're really good looking. Well, look out, especially if a woman is being flattered by a man, you got to look out. Somebody maybe has some intentions. They're flattering you because they want to take advantage of you. So one should be very careful of such flatterers. But any sort of compliment, one shouldn't think, actually, there's no beauty in me whatsoever. If there's any beauty at all, it is my Krishna, whatever degree of Krishna consciousness I've been able to awaken by the mercy of Guru and Vaishnavas and Krishna. The real beauty of the soul is its Krishna consciousness. If someone is flattering your young, beautiful young woman's body, then you can remember the story of liquid beauty. I think everyone knows that story, liquid beauty, is it? This young man, he was very attracted by the beautiful young girl, and so she thought she would teach him a lesson. He said, "I want to enjoy your beauty. Please come with me so I can enjoy your beauty." She said, "Yes, come back in 1 week and you can enjoy my beauty." So all week long she was taking purgatives and laxatives, fasting, doing all these austerities, purgatives, laxatives. And after 1 week, she was reduced to a shriveled, practically a shriveled skeleton. And he came back knocking on the door. "Oh, now I enjoy that beautiful girl." He came knocking on the door. "Young lady, are you here? I have come to enjoy your beauty." And she opened the door. And she said, "Yes." He said, "Where is that young girl, old lady? Where is that young girl? I want to have come to enjoy her beauty." She said, "I am that girl. But I have separated my beauty." "Oh, you separated your beauty?" "Yes, I will show you. Come." She took him to this urn where all the stools and the vomit and the urine is all accumulated. "Now you can enjoy my beauty here." So, when someone is running after your beauty, you can say yes. You tell them the story of liquid beauty. What you think is beauty is actually nothing but stools and vomits. That is the beauty you're running after. So you can tell them that story. Anything else? Questions? Okay. We'll stop here, and we thank everyone very much for your coming to Bhagavatam today here and all over the world through the internet. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Premanandi.
Yeah.
No.